Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Investments. Complicated? Not when you talk to a financial broker about a Zurich investment plan.
Going to begin with the question of the hour and the day, though. Can all pubs reopen next Monday? Is it safe to do so? Should the green list of countries be amended, and are large outdoor gatherings safe? Just some of the questions that the Cabinet is wrestling with as we speak. I'm joined now by Philip Ryan, Deputy Political Editor of the Independent Newspapers. Philip, very little that you can say with absolute certainty until after this Cabinet meeting has concluded, but with health warnings attached, what are you hearing?
Well, just before you went on air there, I think Leo Varadkar has given us the clearest indication to date that pubs won't be reopening. Just before he walked into the Cabinet meeting, he said that the priority for the government is getting the schools and colleges open. He noted the rise in new cases in Ireland and other European countries. And then he said he noted that ENFIT has recommended a very cautious approach over the next couple of weeks, and he expects the Cabinet to take that. And he concluded by saying that, "I know that this is going to come as a further blow to some sectors that have not been reopened, but we can't risk going backwards or risk the schools reopening." So I think that's a clear indication we've had so far as to what way the Cabinet is thinking on this.
So it ain't going to be happening if Leo Varadkar has his way. Do you have any understanding what advice NPHET has given to the government?
It's not clear, but as he said, a cautious approach. So one would suspect that means the pubs stay closed, no increase in indoor gatherings, no big moves, no further significant reopening of society as we know it. So it could be stuck with €9 meals with every pint still at this day as of next Monday.
The other thing that is being tossed around the Cabinet room at the moment is travel. Travel within the country and outside of the country. Let's talk about travel within and at home first of all. Where are they at on that?
On the idea of having regional zones. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, and also on public transport.
Well, the idea of this breaking down the regions and blocking down the regions, that has always been seen as not really achievable in Ireland, given the smallness and how much people cross borders anyway between different, they might live and work on one side of the border. But it has been one of those ideas that has been tossed around, especially for pubs, to see if they could allow pubs open down the country. Public transport, I think a lot of work is going to be needed to do on public transport because, as we've seen over the recent weeks, anybody who's been on a train or a bus going on a staycation, the social distancing has just gone out the window. So maybe that'll be some area they can look at too.
And large gatherings outdoor, might they be on the cards?
There seems to be, that's one of the areas where they seem to be happy enough to ease restrictions because to date, there has been no incidents or big clusters of cases within those types of environments where a lot of people have gathered. So the virus doesn't seem to transfer between people as much in those settings. So that could be okay. Indoor settings, there is concerns about that. They don't see it. At present, you're only allowed 50 people in at the one event. So if you're having a wedding or christening or something like that, that's only permitted. It was planned that it was going to go up to 100, but that looks highly unlikely at the moment.
Back to the travel issue again. The green list looks like it's going to lose one or two countries.
Yeah, it's certainly not going to have any countries added to it. That's for sure. Across Europe, there's been, and ourselves included, there's been an increase in that rate. What they use, one of the key figures or metrics that they use is this, the number of cases per 100,000 people in a population. I think when the list was first drawn up ourselves, we were around 4.5. We've gone up to 9 ourselves. But so have other countries, especially Malta has been a significant jump. They're now at 24.4 per 1,000. And Cyprus as well. So you could see those removed from the list.
Okay, so basically Malta and Cyprus off the green list. No real easing of restrictions if what you're trying to do is indoors, but outdoors you could well be looking at gatherings of 500 or more under being allowed.
That's it. And that'd be good for people who want to go see GAA matches, the club season's going, or League of Ireland matches, that's back up and running as well. So that'll allow, there'll be a rush for the tickets, of course. You're still going to be picking and choosing who gets these. They'll be like gold dust for a lot of these matches. But still, it would allow a number of more people attend.
All right. There's an awful lot to chew over there, if indeed that is what comes to pass at the conclusion of today's Cabinet meeting. Philip Ryan, thank you very much for joining me now for reaction to that. Kerry footballer Pat, or former legendary Kerry footballer Pat Salan, Owen Curry, editor of Travel Extra, incoming VFI president, Vintners Federation of Ireland president Paul Moynihan, and wedding planner Tara Fay. To you, Pat Salan, first off, if this is what comes to pass, this is what you've been calling for quite some time now.
Well, first of all, look, I'm not a medical expert, and I'm not going to tell the health people what they should do. Look, we're living in a new normal. This virus is not going away, but we have to live, we have to continue with life, and we're going to have to balance risk with reward. So when it comes to sport, which is my passion, and Gaelic football, as Philip alluded to, the transmission rates outdoors is quite low. Right, that's number one. So is there any issue with raising the numbers of people attending football matches? Of course there isn't. I mean, if in the north of Ireland, 400 people can attend a GAA match as long as there's perimeter fencing, yet a mile down the road over the border, it's 200. Look, 2 weeks ago, our little club, Temple Noe, we played Dr. Crokes in the Kerry Club Championship, the biggest match ever of our little club. There was 80 supporters at the game. 80 supporters in the Fitzgerald Stadium, which can take 40,000. You know, so this is a no-brainer.
Okay, that was inappropriate to that particular setting, Pat, but we all know pitches up and down the country where you can only really effectively gather on one side, and 500 people down one side of a pitch might just be about, 300 too many.
Well, the north of it, the definition of the north is very simple. 400 are allowed if there's perimeter fencing all around the ground. 400, that's fair enough. So that means there's people can go around. 250 if there's no perimeter fencing. And in the north, they're going to increase. But one of my big, quib with all of this is that our approach to the pandemic has been a one-size-fits-all. So you can have 200 people at an outdoor setting, yet you can have more in an indoor setting in a shopping centre. Now, the one-size-fits-all approach does not work. You've got to tailor things accordingly. So you take...
And that should apply equally then to sporting venues, shouldn't it?
Of course it does. So you take a GAA ground, like where there are club matches at the moment in Kerry, in Fitzgerald Stadium, 40,000. But it can easily take 2,000 to 3,000. With social distancing, okay, you tailor it down maybe to 200 or 300 in the smaller grounds, but let's not have a one size fits all approach.
Okay.
So this is a no brainer, but this is an absolute no brainer to increase the numbers in ratio with the capacity of the ground. But look,
and Pat, I'm sure the GAA would be only too happy to start selling tickets to certain events again. I wonder though, because you are going to have stewards, because there will be additional costs, do you think that it might actually be more costly putting on all of these extra resources just for the sake of 500 people coming in?
The resources are there at the moment for 200, you know. And in fairness, the one thing that the GAA, when these regulations came in, the GAA have really stood up to the plate and delivered on these regulations. They're very well stewarded. They're very well organised. The protocols are being adhered to. But, you know, I still look at the figures, and I'm just looking. In my past life, I was a publican for 30 years. So, you know, I was a rural publican, passionate about GAA, and I see the two things, and I see a little bit of an interlink, because I look at the figures today. I said before coming on air, and I looked at the figures today, and I saw county by county basis, 11 counties have 1% of COVID cases, 7 counties have 2% of COVID cases, and 5 counties have 3%. 23 of the 26 counties in Ireland have 3% or less. And the point I'm trying to make, whether it's the pubs or whatever like that, I'm going back. So we need the one size fits all approach doesn't work. We need to try new things and try new ways. And when it comes to the publicans, I mean, you look at Mike Ryan.
Well, you know what? Let's let the publicans speak for themselves, Pat. Hang on a second, because I also have Paul Moynihan, incoming Vintners Federation president. If this is what comes to pass, it's devastating news for your members, Paul. But given the medical advice, can it really be any other way?
Yeah, it would be, Philip. It would be devastating. Don't forget that Mr. Bradker, towards the end of last week, kind of was suggesting that the rural pubs were causing no problem, and he could see a reopening happening next week. So obviously things have changed. Medical advice is coming in. The meeting is going on as we speak. we hope that we'll get a positive outcome of that meeting. If not, it is absolutely devastating to rural Ireland specifically. Like, it seems like we've been discriminated. There's areas in Ireland that have nowhere for people to socialise whatsoever, Philip. Like, it's crazy, crazy stuff.
Your members repeatedly make the point that we are safer, we are more regulated, we take better care of our customers and clients because they're also our friends and neighbours than many other settings that they would go into. And the good publicans will do that. But we're also all on the grapevine hearing anecdotes about publicans who aren't being quite so responsible. So could the government really have taken any other decision, Paul Moynihan, other than to say, no, we're going to delay for a good while yet?
Yes, it has to be pointed out that the pubs that have been opened as restaurants for the last 5 weeks now, there's been no clusters associated with those pubs. Firstly, that's a big success for the pubs that have opened. It would suggest that something has been done right by those pubs. So it would suggest that a pathway to open for the rest of the pubs in a similar scenario without the serving of food would be a safe environment to open in. And we would have been very confident that if we all opened, and if there's a few bad eggs, deal with them. Get that sorted and let the laws that are there, let the powers that be deal with that. But why discriminate against most of rural Ireland publicans for the sake of a few bad eggs, I'd suggest.
Again, back to what Pat Spillane was saying, though, about one size fits all. You can't do that given the space, the poor ventilation and the lack of floor space of some of the smaller pubs. You can't have a flat rate number, can you, of 20 or 30 people as a max. You would actually need bespoke plans for each and every single pub and permissible numbers to be calculated. And that's just a logistical nightmare.
Well, I think going back to social distancing, once all social distancing was being adhered to, as suggested by the guidelines to reopen, what's the problem? So we're going to have sanitizers everywhere that's needed. We're going to follow all the guidelines. Most publicans have spent an awful lot of money on their premises so far. You think we're closed for 5 months now, and we're still investing in our premises to get reopened. The confidence is there in our industry to reopen successfully, but we've been kicked in the teeth. 3 weeks ago, we were kicked in the teeth. Again, now, it looks like we're still successful. We'll try and be successful again. We're looking forward to getting a confidence vote from this meeting this evening. If not, it's devastating to our industry, and we will definitely need help financially from the powers that be to help us get through this.
Okay, Paul Moynihan, thank you very much. Wedding planner Tara Fay, once again, if what Philip Ryan is hearing turns out to be correct, there's going to be no changes or no lifting of restrictions on the size of indoor gatherings. What does that mean for you?
I mean, you know, at the very beginning, we'll say that public health and safety is always at the forefront of everyone's mind. But we've been successfully holding weddings, like hotels and venues around Ireland have been successfully holding weddings for 50 guests since the 29th of June. And as far as we know, there have been no clusters associated with weddings. You know, Fáilte Ireland and the Irish Hotels Federation have produced very specific guidelines for venues and hotels to hold weddings. And everybody, the vast majority, I mean, I haven't heard of anybody not following any of these guidelines. The industry in Ireland itself is worth €1.5 million, and that's not just covering hotels and venues. That's made up of a lot of small one-person bands like hair and makeup artists, photographers, videographers, cake makers, chauffeurs, musicians. And they're all going to be impacted because if weddings get moved again, all of those people are going to lose out on weddings. And I don't think a lot of them will survive.
What would you do, though? Because, again, we come back to Pat Spillane's recipe, one size not fitting all. But do we have the resources to go into every single hotel and venue in the country and say, OK, this place is suitable for up to 75 people, just down the road, 95 people. That would be a logistical nightmare.
No, I think the Irish Hotels Federation have put forward some proposals where that the size of gatherings should be based on square meterage, because not every size, as you say, not every size fits all. In Northern Ireland, because Pat Spillane brought it up, he was saying about GAA being able to hold up to 500 people or 400 people outdoors. In Northern Ireland, they can hold indoor weddings for up to 100 people. Now, at the moment, we have it based on 50 people. It was due to go to 100 people, and that was taking into account a lot of different criteria. I mean, in fact, the criterion guidelines for weddings are far more stringent than they would be for any other social setting. So even more sort of like stringent than they would be for a restaurant or a pub. So I think if we took the IHF guidelines and the Port Ireland guidelines and applied them on a square meterage basis, well, then a venue that for potentially at the moment holds 500 people, you know, possibly they could hold 100 or 150 people. I mean, I get what you're saying. You can't compare like with like. It's not apples and oranges. And every single venue is not the same size. But putting a blanket ban on weddings over 100, over 50 people until who knows when is unfair to couples who have a lot of them for weddings that are due to happen within the next sort of 7 to 10 days will have already expended 70 to 80% of their budget at this stage. And sometime, and in some cases, this will be the third date that they will move to, have moved their wedding to. So if it's not going to happen next Monday, when is it going to happen?
Tara Fay, wedding planner, thank you very much. Owen Corrie, editor of Travel Extra. Once again, we haven't got confirmation yet, but it does look like Cyprus and Malta are coming off the green list, Owen. If that does prove to be the case, is it surprising that it's taken until now, given for how long the infection rates have been creeping up there?
Well, it's surprising that we're still dealing with a green list at all of that size, because the rest of the, international travel is a little bit more complex than something that the government can issue guidance on within Dublin. It has to follow an international model, and the international model is being followed by the international aviation industry following the European Centre of Disease Control standards. They had no choice because there was no guidance until a fortnight ago from Dublin. So what is happening is almost a parallel reopening of international travel, completely disjointed from the green list. There were 15,200 passengers through Dublin Airport on the peak day last week, and only 9 of the 112 flights out of Dublin tomorrow, and the same in the other direction, are going to green list countries. We have effectively a green list standard which was drawn up by NPHET, which has of countries which are lower infection rates than Ireland. As Philip pointed out at the start of the item, 2 of those countries have fallen off. They're significant, not significant in the number of flights. They are Malta and Cyprus. We have Italy and Greece still in there. But if you were to apply, for instance, the European standard, which is a debate which took place within Cabinet the last time, maybe taking place again, there would be 20 countries in that list, including some significant countries like Germany and like the UK. And if you were to regionalise that list, there would be almost all of Germany would already be in that standard, and somewhere significant outbound like the Canary Islands would be there. So the government are discussing this, the travel industry and the international aviation industry are getting on with keeping the island connected, and very important, they are doing it in a managed way. They're doing it according to the standards of EASA and the standards of the European CDC and the standards that are being implemented in the other 27 countries here, European countries.
Oh, and you were in Malta yourself recently before restrictions were imposed. Was it apparent to you that their numbers were going to climb back up? Did it look like they were doing things very much differently to us?
Not differently at all, but there was what was apparent, and this is very, very interesting, was the debate was there, but it was on a separate level. They had got their total deaths have been 8 since the beginning, still are there, and they were saying, okay, we're going to reopen, get our island connected again, very important for them, as for us, we keep connected, and they were going to watch what happened. 3 days after I was there, the first imported case, a returning Maltese resident from Amsterdam arrived, but as would be very familiar to listeners, the big explosion of cases came out of one event. It was a pool party in a hotel. They got with a small population that pushed them off not only the Irish list, but way, way down, almost to the bottom of the class. And that is what we're seeing across Europe. Explosions, clusters. As Mike Ryan explained earlier in Sarah McInerney's programme, when you keep the virus under pressure, it stays quiet. When you release it, it explodes. roads again. And that's been happening on a regional and on a localised basis. The Irish government's green list and their approach to the green list has been to say we're not going to travel to countries, entire countries. The Canary Islands are 800 kilometres further away from Madrid than Dublin is from Madrid. And that really isn't working. And the reason we know it's not working is that all the aviation people in the Oireachtas committee last week decried it as incoherent, and the customers, ordinary people, are still travelling. As I say, more than 90% of our flights are to non-green list countries. Ryanair reported a 72% load factor earlier this morning. If we get some policy from the government that gets closer to what's actually happening on the ground, or in this case in the air, we may have a more managed situation for the COVID cases that will arise, and reopening borders, there's no doubt about it, it will reintroduce infection, mainly from returning residents, not so much from tourists, but we need something that's closer to reality to emanate from the cabinet meeting this afternoon.
Owen, thank you very much. Pat Spillane, let me just go back to you. We've heard since we've come on air that the GAA has cancelled season tickets. Is that the right call?
I suppose if they can't guarantee access to the matches for all the people who have season tickets, I suppose that's a fair call. But, you know, can I just get that actually... I was a publican in my former life. I'm passionate about GAA. And the third thing you were talking about there was weddings. My daughter was to get married this year, is to get married this year. Her wedding was cancelled on the 20th of June. She hopes to have it again in October. She's going to get married in October. She will probably now only have 50 of her family and friends. But it goes back to what Tara said, and it's going back to what I'm talking about all the time. You're talking about the key is you've got to cut the cloth to suit your measure. So if you're in a GAA ground, if you're in a 50,000 capacity like a Simple Stadium or a 40,000 capacity like Fitzgerald Stadium, well, then you can increase the numbers that are allowed in. The same with a wedding venue. If, depending on the square metre of the area, if it's a large area, you can have a larger crowd. So, look, we need controlled environment. We need to cut the cloth to suit the measure.
You do. But, I mean, that's also calling for an army of civil servants with yardsticks to crawl over
not
every
really.
Venue.
Do you know what it's calling for? What we were very good all during the pandemic, it's calling for responsibility. And when Irish people were faced with a crisis and are faced with a new normal, they were responsible.
Okay.
And they will be responsible too with new regulations. But let's cut out the one-size-fits-all approach and let's look at individual cases.
Pat Spillane, thank you very much. Paul Moynihan, Tara Fay and Owen Curry as well. We'll take a break.